with those words ringing in our ears, it leads us into our theme for this evening. And I might just open with you to open this theme in 1 Kings chapter 18. And at the point at, well, I suppose really from verse 17, where Ahab, the king, met the prophet Elijah, and Ahab said to the prophet, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And Elijah the prophet answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals." We have just sung how disloyal fathers in their stubbornness denied God's word and defied his precepts. And that is the context in which we meet the prophets. I'm calling them the inconvenient truth tellers. There was a film a little while ago. Al Gove, who produced this film in the States about the inconvenient truth about climate change and so on. But this all the more so, where Ahab thought what Elijah had to say was so desperately inconvenient. There is a time when Amos, one of the other prophets, was preaching in Samaria, and the professional prophet warned him and said, "Get out of here. Go back to your homeland of Judah and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is the royal residence." There's a place, it seems, for truth in this world, and a place that people will not receive it. It is too inconvenient. If we trace back a little, on his side, God, in his covenant with Israel, hadn't he set things up so well for his people to live with him and for him? The patterns were all laid out. He had delivered them. He had given them Moses to bring them out of Egypt and give them a new law, a rule for their lives. He had even given them Joshua to lead them into the promised land and to allocate that land to them for an eternal inheritance. Things were good for Israel by God's care for them. Joshua was followed by the time of the judges. It was a fraught time. There was decline repeatedly, deliverance repeatedly, a cycle formed over 400 years. And then came the kings, and especially David and Solomon. And that was them in their heyday. So it wasn't everything well with the world at last. Well, it was for a short time, perhaps, with men who sought to lead the people according to God's word. But it didn't last long. God's word was there, but it was denied, defied, ignored. During the time of the judges, remember, the conclusion of the narrator in that book says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it was because of that that Judges is immediately followed with the appearance of Samuel, who was of the priestly line, but he was a prophet. He was called a seer, another one of the words for a prophet. They needed a Samson to use his physical strength at times, but above all, they needed one to bring God's word back to the heart of the people. And then Samuel leads into the time of the kings. We could take time to look at that transition, because that has a strong bearing upon the direction of the thinking of the people and of the kings. And in the king's time, apart from David in particular, and one or two others, too often the king, as Ahab did in this passage, the king did what was right in his own eyes. How often the warnings through the prophets were, you've been in trouble, and you've gone looking to Israel in the north, first of all, for the southern kingdom, Judah. You've gone looking to Syria, you've gone looking to Assyria, you've gone looking to Babylon, you've gone looking to Egypt to help you. but they will be like leaning on a sharpened sword, and you'll cut yourself. You're looking for political solutions when you are God's people. There's a passage in Deuteronomy that speaks about what happens when you have a king. One of the things that it says is, your king should not gather horses, nor wives, nor idols. And one of the things that it tells us about Solomon, it tells us twice, was that in his glory days, he had so many horses, and you know, he had so many wives, and all their idols too. Looking for political solutions, which was to conform to the things, the way that the nations around them behaved. That was their direction. What had God said? Not that way, my way. And it was in that context where the kings did what was right in their own eyes and the people went with them. It was then that the people needed this Elijah, Elisha, those nameless prophets that Obadiah preserved, Micaiah, who was one of quite a number, the only one who made it plain that this is what God said to the kings. You have Joel, you have Amos, you have Hosea. Very inconvenient as they told the truth to the people who had discarded the truth. Isaiah, 60 years spent preaching to a hardened people that hardened them all the more. Jeremiah, a weeping prophet as he looked on the denial of God's word by God's people. We've looked at some of the saviors and the kings, the deliverers, the shepherds of God's people, but it wasn't enough. God's people still left God. They still didn't recognize that they belonged to God. He said, you will be my people. They didn't want to be his people. And so came the time of the prophets. The prophets who spoke for God, who pointed men where men did not want to go. Let's look at the prophets for a moment. In a few occasions, I've looked at one particular character, what they've done. I want to just endeavor to deal with the prophets as a group this evening. Although we have that particular example of Elijah, which I think is especially vivid. But what do we learn of the prophets? What was their purpose? What was the need for them? And I want to point, first of all, that the prophets were there to speak God's word. Also to show that in that speaking they were applying God's word, but another part of their role was to pray for God's people. Speaking God's word then, first of all, and that's really what a prophet was. There are several words in the original language that we have translated as prophets, or one or two other words such as seer that I've mentioned. If you were to simply take that word and try and work out what it means, it would be very difficult to work out what it means. You need to have the context. And in that context, we find that the key thing that runs through all of it is, this is what God says. They speak God's word. That is what a prophet, a Bible prophet, is. As I say, another word that is sometimes used is translated as seer, and that comes from the word to see, and it is somebody who is recognized to see beyond the things in front of us, the things of this world, to see even into the future. And that was perhaps especially applicable in the earlier cases that we read of. But it was only part of the role to see what was ahead. Only part of the task. Telling how things will turn out later was not all of their work. The best, the most comprehensive way of thinking of a prophet is simply speaking God's word. And who would tell them how things were going to be except God himself? And that's what you find in the foretelling aspect of their work. But first of all, they were simply to speak God's word. There's a place in Exodus chapter 4 where God is speaking to Moses. You know the story, I think, where God is calling Moses and says, "You are going to lead my people out of Egypt." And Moses says, "I can't do that." God said to Moses, "You'll go and you'll talk to Pharaoh and you'll tell him this, you'll tell him that." And Moses said, "I'm no use with my voice." He'd spent 40 years, all he could had been talking to were the sheep. How can I talk to a king, an emperor? And so God says something very interesting to him. He says, "I'll send your brother." His brother had still been in Egypt, it would seem. And at verse 15 of chapter 4 of Exodus, God says to Moses, "Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth." Where was Moses going to get those from in the first place? It was God himself. But those words, "I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do." And here, especially in verse 16, "So he shall be your spokesman to the people." Fine so far. "And he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God." And that shows us what a prophet is doing. A prophet is God's mouthpiece. Moses was to be like God in this case, to give words to Aaron to speak. And Aaron was to be the spokesman, the prophet for Moses. But just so, Elijah, Isaiah, and all the others were to take the words that God gave them and deliver them. And that's a great light upon what a prophet was to do. And that's reinforced in practically every occasion that you come across the work of these prophets. How often, and even when it was talking about Elijah, what Elijah was told to do, he records that, or the writer of this book of Kings records that God spoke to him and said, "Do this." Elijah did it. A prophet is, first of all, a spokesman. Another very remarkable passage is in 2 Kings chapter 17. I'll just make use of verse 13. And the first line of that verse makes this same point. 2 Kings 17 at verse 13, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah." And that would indicate to us God is speaking against Israel and Judah by all of his prophets, namely every seer. And you have the two words joined in joint there. God is doing the talking by his prophets. When we look at that episode in Israel between Elijah and Ahab, we read where it began in 1 Kings 17 at verse 1, where Elijah said, "It's not going to rain." Where does this come from? James tells us Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. But is that all there is to it? Was Elijah presuming? Was he taking too much on himself? Who was he? He was the Tishbite from Gilead. Who's that? But what we find is that Elijah was simply taking God's word that God had already spoken. God had said in Deuteronomy chapter 11, "Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain." Elijah was praying earnestly that God would apply his word. God's word had been spoken. What happened now was, you might even say, a delayed outworking of that word, the power of God's word. God had spoken in Elijah's case. You can take examples from all of the other prophets. Isaiah, let me just take one. He says, "Thus says the Lord God of hosts." Micah, "Hear now what the Lord says." Ezekiel, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying," and Ezekiel packages it up and passes it on. It's just as Paul and the apostles, when they had the gospel in the New Testament, and Paul says, "I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." How many of you go shopping online and you get a package from now and again delivered to the door? Now, when you get that package, you don't expect that the delivery man or woman has put something into it along the way. And you don't expect that he or she has taken something out of it along the way. What you get in that package, you expect, has been sent just as it is, as it was. What I received, the delivery person says, I've delivered to you. Paul says that. It's not his word, it's not an adaptation, it's not an interpretation. But what God has given, he delivers. The prophet, what God has given, he delivers. Thus says the Lord, quote marks, open and close. That's what you have through Ezekiel, through Isaiah, and others. When Moses was preparing the way not only for kings, but also for prophets, a particular prophet especially, he said, or God said through Moses, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. That's the same thing. It's God's words in his mouth. Those are the things that will be spoken. That passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18 has more to say about the prophets, that it's that that qualifies a man as God's prophet. If he didn't behave in that way, for example, in a few verses later, Moses said, the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. It was a hugely important place to be, role to play, and it had to be lived immaculately. These were remarkable men who took what God had to say and gave it to the people. Is that partly perhaps why Moses, one of the prophets, in Deuteronomy 18, he says, there will be a prophet like me. He was a prophet. And Moses spoke God's word and spoke God's word. And there was a point where God said to Moses, the people want water. Okay, you go to that rock and speak to it. And he didn't. He struck it in anger. And he was not admitted to the land because of that. Is that a reflection on the solemnity of this task? To take what has been received and deliver that. Pure and simple. And that's what the prophets were about. To speak God's word. Part of that speaking, I have hinted on that already with Elijah applying Deuteronomy, is about applying God's word. That's what Elijah did. And it's what the Old Testament, a great deal of the Old Testament is about. That's what the Psalms that we've sung have been speaking about as well. God has already said, the kings, the books of kings that we have, Chronicles deals with the kings as well. The king was told in Deuteronomy 17, when you have a king, he must have, as it were, this book of the law at his bedside. And that law was these first five books of Moses, what God had already said. Nothing that follows is beyond that. It's all in harmony with that. It's all in application and outworking of those things into the lives of God's people. God has spoken. The prophets came to say to the people and to the kings like Ahab and others, what are you doing with it? You have the word. What are you doing with it? Deuteronomy 18 again. It directs our thinking on all of these things. It shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he, the prophet, speaks in my name, I will require it of him. You have God's word. What are you doing with it? I will require it of you. That reference that I made in 2 Kings 17, the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes. Nobody had a right to ask, well, what are they? They're there. According to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. That's what Psalm 78 was saying. We've had it. We've been given it. We will convey it to our children and to our successive generations. And they too must hear the word of God. These prophets were not mere wise men. There are people who, scholars who have spent a lifetime studying the Old Testament and would say that the prophets are those who were granted special insight into the ways of the world. A bit like your leading newspaper commentators, perhaps, who are looking at the world and they can see critically how things are going on and they can put pieces together and they say, if you go down this path, that's what's going to happen, and so on. That's not these prophets. Not just men who could read the way the world was behaving. There is a brief reference in 1 Chronicles 12 about men of Issachar. You don't hear about them very often, do you? Who is Issachar? He appears on the scene back in Genesis and just about disappears. But there were 200 of them, and it says about them, they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. But they were not called prophets. Yes, they could take, and surely they took God's word to guide Israel. But the prophet did something far more vigorous, you might say. When the prophets did speak, and they spoke that the application of the old word that they already had, this too was God's word. Thus says the Lord of hosts, for example. They were inconvenient in the truth that they told, just as it is with Bible gospel preaching today in much of the world. They were under compulsion by the Spirit of God. They wouldn't do it if they wanted an easy life. Elijah is proof of that. Isaiah is proof of that. Jeremiah is proof of that. It's under God's appointing because they carried God's word with them. Only with that word could there be the fullest and right understanding of the way of the people. It's in that setting where they are taking the ancient word of God, the enduring word of God, they're taking it and they're applying it to the circumstance, the direction of the people of the time. It was variable. There were times such as this one we read of Ahab where he was completely going astray and he was being, as it were, hauled back through Elijah. There was a time when one of the kings of Judah, Josiah, was keen to restore the temple, and they discovered God's word, and he asked for the prophet to give them some guidance as to what to do. It was a different situation, but he was prepared to hear God's word. But along with the declaration of God's word for the time, this is where you are in the light of God's word. This is what is missing. Along with that declaration, very often there were additions of what we often call prophecy, the foretelling, the looking forward. And a large part of that is because of the failings of the people, the failings of the king. They were God's people. If they had followed God's rule, all would be well, you might say. But that's the message of the scriptures, is that all is not well. We fall aside too easily. And so there was a need to say, there is something better to come, something more. If you return to me, you will be blessed, even at that level. If you do not, there will be many troubles ahead of you. And they were very precise much of the time. The time came when, in 2 Kings 17, that was right at the very end of the northern kingdom, and you'll be gone. You'll be strewn across the world. And that very shortly afterwards, that is what happened. Back in Deuteronomy 18, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. There was that looking forward. there were statements made as to what will happen, what will take place, what God will work. And if it didn't, then the people could know that prophet, all that he's spoken, was unfaithful. But if they hear that looking forward, that word looking forward, if they would just remember, if they had just remembered the word that God had spoken through Moses, they could have steered clear of their great failings. But if they would just remember, that word that is given by a prophet would be tested one day. And they would know that the prophet's word was true. And that's where Paul says, every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's in him that they're demonstrated, those words of the true prophets are demonstrated to be true as he fulfills. We saw it in Matthew 26 already, several references to the fulfilling of God's word by the prophets. Throughout their history, the message of God did not deviate from what they had been given at the beginning. It was applied frequently. But that word that had been given, their use of it had failed so often it was lost. Who was it that brought trouble on Israel? Was it the prophet who closed up heaven and shut off the rain? Or was it the king and the people who had neglected God's grace and God's word? And it's because of that that God did send his prophets time and again. Another remarkable passage is in Jeremiah 25, where through the prophet, God gives this to his people. The Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, all the prophets, they said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. The Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. They said, the prophets said, repent, and so on. But you have not listened to me, says the Lord. They were speaking God's word. God did send them time and time and time again. Jesus makes reference to that as he tells a story, a parable of a vineyard where the king has, or the owner has left for a time, and he sends his servants back at the time of rent, and they're beaten, mistreated, killed, and eventually, because those who have the tenancy will not listen to his servants, he sends his son, doing the same work with the same message, and they kill him. I sent you time and time and time again, these prophets, with God's word, to bring you this call. Same thing. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. If you do listen, I will not harm you. But you've not listened. You've provoked me to anger. And it's going to hurt you. And it's in the light of that that the other aspect, special aspect of the prophet's work also appears, praying for God's people. You will find that with the kings, that it works both ways. Serving God to serve the people, bringing the people, leading them in God's service. You find it with the priests, which I would hope to look at briefly next week. They serve God towards the people, but also, and perhaps better known, they serve the people towards God. But so it is with the prophets. They speak God's word to the people. That's their primary role. But they can't stop themselves, you might say, praying for God's people. They return and look to God as well. They speak to God for the people. And who better? They are faithful men. Amongst the best known, perhaps Daniel. He is set within the collection of prophets. There is something of prophetic character about him. He relies on the prophets. In fact, I might make the point that in the Hebrew Bible, those books that we call historical, Kings and Chronicles and so on, they are called former prophets. They have a prophetic task as well. They are teaching. They are God giving his word to us within the whole of his Bible, his scriptures. Not just a historical account, but it's a summons to you and to me to take notice of what God has said and his great promises. Daniel prayed for the people. A very faithful man, yet he confessed sin. Moses too. Most definitely prayed for the people. He stood between God and the people in God's great anger against the people. Moses stood there and besought the Lord to be merciful. Samuel did. And when he was having to, as it were, hand over the reins to Saul, Samuel said, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." In Jeremiah, you find what must be one of the scariest things in the Bible, where Jeremiah hears God's word. God says to me, said to me, "Do not pray for this people, for their good." What a state they'd reached, that God should say that. He was a man who just was crying out day and night, repeatedly. You have his prayers, his crying out to God, as well as crying out to the people for God. And God says, "Stop it. That's not right for the time. It's too late." Habakkuk was another who repeatedly prays to God. Elijah, we see him praying. On Mount Carmel, the story that follows, we see him praying for the life of a boy. We see him praying as a prophet for God's people. And it should hardly be surprising. The kings ought to have done it, as they had received God's word. Here were the men who had received God's word directly from God, the very clear word of God. They could see the abyss that the people were looming over. Who better? And if they are under God's spirit, they would only have that spirit of crying out that this might be held back. Jesus' heart of compassion for the lost. Paul says, "What comes upon me daily, this bears on me my deep concern for all the churches." There is that prophetic aspect right through into these apostles as well. Now, our time is gone. We have, over the weeks, been meeting these deliverers, saviors, shepherds, formalized as kings, but as I've said this evening, too often they only brought a very short-lived safety to the people, and especially in that era from the judges into the kings. It's there that class of seers or prophets arose, and they came to bring recall the people to the Lord, to recall that had already been called but had wandered away. They needed to be called back. They needed to be warned of the impending dangers, as well as being presented with a way of escape. You listen to me, God says, and I will not harm you. To speak God's word. And as Jeremiah put it, God has been getting up early. He's devoted to this every day to give you God's word. That is amazing grace. This Bible, why did God keep going? We know that he kept going through the Old Testament to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That son who came to the vineyard with the same message, but was killed for that message. When the apostles were preaching in Acts in chapter 3, They spoke about how all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. They looked to this Jesus in speaking for God. And then they go on, and Stephen goes on, reminding those who were leading God's people at that time, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. Prophets were given God's word. It was the truth. But for generations, it was so inconvenient, so troubling. You are the troubler of Israel. No. This is God's word. He will do good to you if you are faithful to him. It was a hard task to serve God. They served God then for the people then, but increasingly they were looking forward as well. That was God's purpose, but it becomes clear as those generations of prophets unfold. And it was to come to this place of fulfilling of the promise of God to be with his people in that most complete way, in the person of his Son, who was himself the great prophet, who tells us of what is to come. If we have seen a little, at least, of the place of the prophets, the sober, somber conditions in which they worked, we hear a greater prophet still. Yes, he's more than that, but he is the great prophet that was expected. And what is he saying to us? It's the same God, it's the same word. We read it this morning in Leviticus 19. It's there that you first hear, love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same God who is revealed to us in Jesus. And as I said earlier, you have this word. The prophets were saying to the people of the day, what are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? That's just part of the picture, but it's a vital part. Those great prophets that you open, Isaiah, we need them. The people needed them then. But will we hear? And so far this evening, will we hear what God teaches us to? Let us pray together.